Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hey there. Sorry, did you stop because I was twiddling?
No, I stopped because I was like, "Am I recording?" In that split second, I was like, "Hey, welcome back to the." I was like,
"Art of Craftsmanship." We did a whole podcast for nothing.
We just talked for an hour.
Well, it's like I started talking, and it was like, "Wait," I was like, and then I looked down the screen. I was like, "Okay, I am." It was like that little split second. Yeah. I was like, "Is it recording?" Yes, it's recording. For some reason, it didn't sound like it was recording. Not that that is a thing, because it doesn't sound at all ever like it's recording. It's no different.
Where's the tape sound? It really.
All right. Well, that being said, Devin, what do you got for us today?
Thanksgiving is recognition of a debt that cannot be paid. We express thanks whether or not we are able otherwise to reimburse the giver. I'll try it one more time. Thanksgiving is recognition of a debt that cannot be paid. We express thanks whether or not we are able otherwise to reimburse the giver. Able otherwise.
So is that like, that's describing Thanksgiving as in the act of giving thanks or the event of thanks?
Okay, I think it's just giving thanks.
Right,
to express thanks. Why are we doing it?
Right.
It's so just as the person doing it, you are, it is a recognition of something good and trying to tell that person that was good or that thing. So like it says in the second half of it, we express thanks whether or not we are able to reimburse the giver.
Right.
You're putting it out there.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because you know, you're like, it's the idea of the payment. The reimbursement is the giving thanks. You know, it's like, here's something, and my reimbursement to you is saying thank you, is acknowledging the fact that I can't pay you back for this thing, so thank you for that generosity.
Or there is no payment needed, right? But a thank you is it's just a recognition going, hey, that was a good thing.
Right, as a recognition.
And I think the scientific thing is like some type of social cohesion, right?
Right, yeah.
Letting people know that I like that. It's like wagging your tail almost.
Right,
but we don't have that, so we gotta vocalize it sometimes. Right. Sometimes our face doesn't show it, or we don't say it enough, right? That people always say that. I don't, you know, I never thank this person for doing this. I never did this. So people do feel bad if they don't let people know what it meant to them.
Right.
Because we cannot read minds and our tails don't wag.
Right. And, you know, it's like, so perfect example. I was recently at a Dunkin' Donuts and I like, on the way out, I held the door open for someone coming out behind me and they didn't like acknowledge it at all.
Oh.
You know, so like not like, me, not princess. Not a head bob, not, you know, obviously not a thank you or anything.
They was just, it
like,
a lady or a dude?
It was a guy.
Your Highness, excuse me. Continue on.
But, you know, like, whether or not that person was acknowledging the fact that I did something, like, good, it wouldn't have... Would I have done it if I'd known there would be no recognition?
I think yes. Right.
I think yeah. I mean, it's a common courtesy.
Right.
Right. So I'm like, yeah. I'm walking out like that. There's someone right behind me. I hold the door. You know, like that's common courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not you get a thank you or you get a head nod or you get some type of recognition. You know, but in polite society, we live in a society. We
live in a society here.
Yeah. You know, it's like. It's a common acknowledgement of common courtesy.
Right. It's, hey, I'm trying to grease the wheel. I'm trying to keep things running smoothly. You're I'm right. doing my little part here in this building that we're all trying to come in and out of and trying to move things along. That's why you don't take forever in line because there's other people. You have to be courteous. And then once you're courteous, you... Certain things, it's a clear thing. I stopped what I was doing to kind of open the door for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you should at least acknowledge.
Right, yeah.
This clear thing. Like, some things can't be, you're not expecting thanks for. Like, you trying to keep the line moving when you're ordering something.
Right.
You're just doing your part without everyone going, like, oh, wow, man, thanks so much for paying quickly and knowing your order. Right,
yeah.
But when you do something so obvious as holding the door for someone.
Right, exactly.
Hey.
Then it's a blatant, yeah, it's like, I'm doing this thing for you, just specifically you. You know, like.
Right. So, yeah, it's just a, yeah, no, I agree. It pisses me off. And you're, like you said, you're not doing it for that.
Right.
But you're doing it. You're doing it to keep things working better.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like exactly.
Someone doesn't have to help you lift something up. You can lift it up.
Mm-hmm.
I can lift a 100-pound thing. But if you're standing watching me lift the 100-pound thing,
right.
I'm going to think, hey, why didn't you lift 50 pounds of this for me?
Right.
Why are you just watching me? I can do it, but...
But you're right there. This really is help. Common. Yeah, like
if you see someone, especially if you're, if let's say it's if you, literally you and me are, and you're doing something, I will go, well, that looks heavy. I know Dustin can lift it. Yeah. It would be a lot easier if I helped.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's like, you know, that's part of what's built into us as, you know, societal creatures, right? Yeah. People who live in groups and work together and make things, like you said, kind of, there's an understanding of making things work smoothly. And in that situation, you know, it's like when there are two of you there, it'll be a lot easier for the one person to do something if the other person helps, you know, and it doesn't put the other person out at all to do it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it is definitely a part of how certain people were raised. Some people feel entitled. Some don't. Some are always taught, say, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Say this, say that. Look, you know, help when you can, do what you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I'm always happy to do. It's like pitch in and help when you can.
Right.
Because there's not always, if you're seeing it, you just go do it. Just go help. Like someone runs out of gas or something. And you're like, in a position where you can help.
Mm-hmm.
What happened recently? Oh, this guy and this woman, they were stuck on the off ramp. Did I tell this story?
No.
Maybe I did. Mm-hmm. Off 83, off the highway.
Yeah.
The same spot I ran out of gas, which is really weird. Man.
Yeah.
Someone else ran out of gas right in front of me. And the guy is out of the truck and his girl, whatever. The girl's inside. She's like trying to get started. And I pull over right in the, like, on the side of the road like I had done when I was there.
Yeah.
And I, like, start to jump out because I'm, like, I'm going to help him push. At least get it off the road because he's on the ramp.
Yeah,
But if me and him are there, we can at least push to the side and then, you know, I can drive him up or something. But then she starts the truck up and she squeals off. Takes off. So I was
Without the guy?
Without the guy. So I think she was like trying to get started and started up, you know, gave her one last, you know, bit of juice.
Yeah, like get off the ramp, get to the gas station.
Yeah, because he turned to me and said, where's the gas station? And it's that new Royal Farms, right? You know, so I was like, it's at the top of the hill. You get to the top of that hill, you know, it's...
You're golden.
Yeah, so she took off. I was like, oh, man. I was like, I guess she's going for it. I was like, you want to ride up to her? He's like, yeah, that'd be great.
That's great.
So
I guess there was an understanding between them.
She was just like, she was probably, I don't want to sit here, so I'm just going to gun it.
Yeah, right.
But he can walk if the guy says up the hill, you know, or I'll just come down, back down and get him.
Right.
It's better than sitting in the road, which makes a little sense, but it was like funny. Right. I was like, oh, damn, dude, she just left you. All right, come on, let's go. So we were like laughing about it, and I pulled up, and she was laughing too, and she offered to give me some money. I was like, nah, it's all good. And I actually told him, I was like, I actually ran out of gas at that exact same spot. So I was just like passing it on, you know, like someone helped me.
Yeah,
right,
exactly, yeah.
And like, you know, it's the social cohesion, but it feels good. Everyone feels good about it. So you get like repaid, and they were thankful. So it's that was all the payment you needed.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. 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 What you drinking, Dev?
I am drinking. Trying to think, find the exact name. Old Man Winter by Southern Tier Brewing.
Oh,
I like Southern Tier a lot.
Yeah, I like Southern Tier too. They, I haven't seen a huge variety. Usually it's like just their 15 pack. Mm-hmm. So I have not heard of Old Man Winter though. So that sounds like something a little different.
Nice. What about you? What are you?
I am drinking a Sam Adams Winter White Ale.
Oh, there you go.
We're both on the winter track right now.
Sure.
Mine is spiced and citrusy.
Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah.
I also have a mango margarita in my bag here next to me because it's just one left in there, so I figured I'd throw that in.
Yeah. My second beer is, let's see, what is it? It is this is from the Sam Adams winter pack. It's the winter lager.
Yeah, those are good. They are pretty low in alcohol content. Not that's what it's all about, but sometimes when I spend a certain amount of money, I'm like, eh, well.
Yeah, right. If I'm going to spend the money.
I'm going to get at least like something with 6 or 7, but I think the sweet spot, honestly, is 7.
Yeah.
You know, I'm real happy with 7.
Yeah.
7, right. 5, still, 8 is getting high. I mean, those are fun too.
Yeah.
8s, and you go all the way up to like Mad Elf, which is 11.
Yeah, right.
And it almost becomes wine. It's just like a.
Yeah, it gets a little, like, it gets out of the taste realm of the beer and into like a more alcohol. You can really taste it, which
I'm always happy with, I think, between 6.5 and 7.5. That's a sweet spot.
Yeah, yeah. Still tastes like what you want it to taste like, but you get the extra kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually, I don't typically look at the alcohol content, although I'm almost always buying IPAs, which inevitably have like 6 or 7, you know, like that's just what they are. So, but because just a straight lager usually is not, I'm not a huge fan of that taste just by itself, you know. So, like I like the extra hoppiness, I like the bitterness of an IPA, and it's good. But this is good. You know, both of these is a good mix pack. I actually got it. I got it 2 weekends ago for the first time when I did the Maryland Irish Fest. So we went and with the Njörður's Wanderers, the Viking reenactment group, or living history group, I should say. The group, we went and we did the Maryland Irish Fest, which is inside of the Maryland State Fairgrounds. I brought a 12-pack of beer because, you know, they have beer at the Irish Fest.
Oh, that's right. You said you wanted something a little darker.
Yeah, well, I just didn't want... Yeah, I was looking for, like, a brown ale or something, but I just didn't want to have to pay. You know, I want...
Sure.
Like, you know, it's like when we're all together and we're doing Viking stuff, you got to have ales around. So I always bring beer to events. And, you know, I knew there would be beer there. And actually, I think it was like $7 or something for a beer. So it wasn't too bad, but... But yeah, I brought my own. But I got this one then, and I liked it. So.
And also, you're like, hey, I'm working here, so you know, I don't have to pay the real price.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I brought my own beer. Although it's funny, like the amount of people who offered to buy me beers was like crazy.
Really?
You know, because everyone's there. They're all drinking. They're all like celebrating being Irish, and they like come by and they'll like chat for a while. And they're like, "You need a drink? You need a drink?" And I'm like, "I got one, thank you." They're like, "God, next time I come back around, I'll bring you a drink." Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, give me Guinness.
I had like 6 people over the like 2 days offer to bring me a drink.
good Irish people.
I know, it's great. But yeah, we went to yesterday. I went out on a historical Viking longship.
Oh, cool.
Went out on a cruise. Yeah. So there's a nice. Company called the Longship Company, and they're out of like Southern Maryland area down near St. Mary's on the Potomac River, Patapsco River. I can't remember which one that is. Patapsco? No, Potomac. So we went down and went out. I think there were probably like 13, maybe 15 or 16 people total, including like captain and mate and bosun and, you know, all those people. But it's two, both sides have six, oars. Uh-huh. So it's a 12 oar boat. I think maybe it was either five or six. So we had like, I think we had five people on either side paddling, throughout the trip, or rowing, I should say. Yeah. And then, you know, there were like four or five people who were doing other stuff or like taking like off, you know, like off breaks and stuff. It was great. It was super fun. So we went down, we actually went with the group. So I think there were probably three, five, six, seven, eight, nine of us from our group. And then, you know, another like seven or eight or something like that, just like other people who were there doing the trip as well. But it was really cool. Like we got to, you know, like obviously row the long ship and we got to put up the sail. It wasn't very windy, but we did put the sail up. It's just like one square sail with a like a horizontal boom, but it's attached to the mast in the middle of the boom, and so you just raise it up and it's like, you know, like a T. It's like mm-hmm. a square rig. Mm-hmm. It was great. We got to like go out and sail around a little bit, you know, like kind of sail out across and then paddle back and took a little bit of a break, and it was cool. It was interesting. It was like the pace of the rowing was faster and shorter strokes than I would have thought is like more comfortable.
Yeah.
But that was like, so the first two people on each side were like the people who had the most experience. So they were just like, you know, they just started by leading us like with a pace, you know, it was like, yeah. And then all, you know, you're just following the person, you're like looking at the paddle or the oar in front of you and you're just matching their pace. So that way all the oars would go together, you know? And so it's kind of a fast pace, which is kind of weird. And it was like, the oars are very narrow. Like I think at the widest part of the actual paddle was probably only like 4 inches, okay. You know? So it was like, you know, the whole oar was like 3 inches or so all the way down. It's like a cedar, you know, oar. And then the paddle is only like maybe 4 or 5 inches. And, you know, and then it's like probably 18 inches long or something. So it's like a long, but thin. And I think that maybe like makes a difference for like how fast you can row. Because if the paddle end was bigger, like a kayak or a canoe, the restraint would be more. You know, so it'd be like harder to pull because you'd be pushing more water.
Yeah.
So it'd be harder to keep pace with other people when you have weaker and stronger people. That's my only like reasoning is like maybe they just had a lot of paddles and they were small and it's the accumulation of everyone rowing at the same time. But it was fun. It was good. It was a chilly day. It was probably like in the 50s. So not too cold, but it was overcast in the morning and like a little bit drizzly when we went out, you know, just a hair, just a little bit, didn't really matter, but we had on all of our Viking gear and stuff, but I brought the same mix pack. So same one. It's a good pack.
And we really should do some type of, series on Viking stuff, you know, do all those things, do like a little mini documentary of like different things. That'd be really fun to shoot and do it.
Yeah.
And make that, you know, as its own thing. A whole new, like, series and style of things.
Right, yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely plenty of potential there. Craig, the leader of our group, is always, like, he's a big thinker. He's always, like, dreaming big. He's like, we should do this, and we should do this, and, like, let's do this, and we'll build this thing, and da-da-da. You know, it's like, he really wants to do a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, everyone you know, obviously when you have a big group of people, you got to like organize schedules, and it's not like we all live really close by, you know, we're all kind of scattered around Maryland. So,
yeah.
But yeah. Oh, the other thing we got to do on this trip was at the end, we took the mast down because it's like, it was the last, outing of the season.
Oh yeah.
So the mast is probably like, 30 feet maybe. And at the base of it, it's probably like 6 inches in diameter. It's a wooden mast. And so it has, it's got, it's like attached to the bottom of the boat, with like two kind of big wooden blocks that go forward and back, well, you know, along the ship. So they kind of, they come together and they pinch the bottom of the mast, the circle, the round, you know, diameter. And then right above it is a bench seat that's maybe a foot off of the bottom of the boat. And that has like a half circle, kind of like a yoke that you would carry on your shoulders to carry like water, you know? Yeah. And so that the mast fits back into that. So it's like down at the bottom between the two blocks, and then it's in that. And then there's like a bunch of rope wrapped around it. And then there's also a peg on the bottom of the mast, on the bottom of the, you know, all the way in the bottom, that like fits into a hole down in the deck. So, and then the whole thing is held up because you have a forestay and you have an aft backstay, right? So like lines going from the top of the mast to the front of the boat and the back of the boat, and then you have the two, you have two shrouds, which are the two lines going left and right. So you have four lines holding the mast vertical, and then it's attached to the bottom. And so to like take it down, we took off all the backstays. We took off the backstay, and then we had some two extra ropes which were actually attached to the ropes, the halyards that pull the sail up. So we have three people holding the back of the boat. And then you have like three guys holding the bottom of the mast while it's being like all the stuff's being taken apart to keep it from sliding or moving around. And then you have someone on the forestay, the very front of the boat, pulling. Was it the front or was it the back? I guess it's the back. And then you have two people on either shrouds. You have three people kind of in the back of the boat controlling the back. You have three people up front controlling the front. And then you have three people around the bottom of the mast, like holding it still. And then you have the main captain who is using a pry bar to lift the mast up vertically to disengage that pin from the bottom. And then once that was out, then we were able to tip the whole mast back. So it's like, you know, us in the, I was in the front on one of the lines and we're like leaning it back slowly. And then you have like three guys at the bottom of the mast, and then you have a couple extra people who are there to kind of catch it, you know, catch. But we're leaning, we're putting it down slowly, but they're like walking back with it, you know, as it's tilting backwards. So, but it went really well, and you know, it's, the potential is there that it could go awry and that mast could fall sideways, or like as it's leaning back, the bottom of it, you know, where now it's disengaged from the boat, so the bottom could pop up, you know, 'cause it's like leaning on bench seats and stuff. So they're like, that was a big concern, but it was cool. It was fun to like, you know, go through the process of taking down a mast and like doing it, because that's how it would have been done. You know, you have a bunch of people holding the lines, and then you kind of disengage from the bottom and lean it back. So it was cool. Nice. We joked when we were done. We were like, "All right, now put it back up. All right, now back down. Now back up. Now back down.
Learn it or not?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Now everyone put blindfolds on and do it again."
So you are thankful of your experience.
I am, yeah. Yeah, that's actually one of my thanks. One of my thanks is...
real quick, we didn't... I mean, I guess it makes sense. This is, we're kind of doing a Thanksgiving episode, so we'll do a little bit of that type of stuff, and we'll
Right, so this is coming out on Monday, the 24th, so in the United States, we have Thanksgiving on the... What is it? This year, it's like... It's always like a Thursday... It's like the last Thursday of the month in November. I guess that's what it is, right? Isn't always that? It's always a Thursday. So this year it's, 25th, 26th, 27th. So November 27th is Thanksgiving. So yeah, we're doing our Thanksgiving episode. We'll be both with family and doing something. Wait, I guess you're working the Ravens game.
Yeah.
You'll be down at the stadium working on Thanksgiving. And I will be at mom and dad's house watching it. So. But yeah, so we won't be recording next week or this upcoming week for Thanksgiving, so this is our Thanksgiving episode. So we figure we would do some things we're thankful of and things, some different things that have happened over the year, and yeah. Here you go. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, one of the things I put on here, which I didn't write down, but I was thinking about it, was like, you know, I guess thankful for like new friends. You know, we always, you know, it's like, I guess the older you get, the kind of more settled you get into the same group of friends, which is fine, right? Because it's like a comfort, you know, and you like, you have your life and you like, you have a comfortable, you know, like, you know, you're used to the things, like things go the way they're new. You know, you have your routine of like who you're meeting, but it is nice to kind of break that up sometimes and meet some new people. So, you know, obviously with doing social media and going to events like Baker Camp and stuff, we always meet new people and, you know, or like people we may have met before, but you kind of build new friendships and stuff. And, the Wanderers, it's been fun. I think last year around this time, let me see, when was it? I'm trying to think when we did, I think our first event was like a year and a half ago. Right. So last year around this time, we had just like, we maybe had done one or two events with the Wanderers. So now we've done a bunch more and, you know, have really kind of developed some fun relationships and friendships in the group. It's been cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say one thing that I am not thankful for, though, is
bad new friends. Mike, you stink. I don't like you.
Stop touching me. That one new friend. No, is like is the uncomfort, the discomfort of like having to meet new people, which is you know, just, I mean, I guess that's life. But we actually, Corinne wanted us to go and have dinner with her girlfriend's family. Mm-hmm. And so we all went over and had dinner, and it was awkward, because not awkward there, but you know, it's like, okay, this is like a new group, and like our Corinne's to the age where she's going to be dating different people and we'll have to meet different families. And like, I was like, ugh, this is annoying. I like my comfortable like group of friends that I'm comfortable with that I know really well. Right. But it was actually great. It turned out really awesome. And they're her family and friends. So we actually went to a Shabbos dinner. So in the Jewish religion, on Friday nights, they do Shabbos, which is basically just a family dinner. And they like do prayers and stuff. But it was great. Like, they're super fun and laid back and like great food and awesome conversation and good like jokes and stuff, and so it was awesome. But that awkwardness of having to, you know, meet new people and try to start conversations and stuff, and like, what do you do, da, 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 da.
And, you know, it's like, and for that situation you are forced to try a little harder,
right?
It's like when I meet new work people, I don't talk much until I really feel like I want to.
Right, yeah.
Or if someone says something interesting. But if no one says anything interesting, I just kind of ignore people.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of boring. It's kind of lame. Like, but if something sparks my interest or I feel they, you know, there's a connection.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll join in.
Yeah.
You're interesting.
Right, exactly. No, yeah, it was fun, but...
Yeah, I got, I'm thankful for records,
because
I just got my record. It's been down for a year, because Maeve broke the needle last year before Christmas.
Right.
So this Christmas I got a new needle
for
the, you know, stylus or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be back on track the day after Thanksgiving week, go and get our tree and stuff, and so... We'll have the records going on later this week.
Nice.
But it's been really fun showing her music and records.
Right.
That's the one great thing about a record, is there's this big, huge thing they can hold as I'm talking about it. You know, little kids want visual stuff.
Right.
They like pictures. So here's a giant, like, book. Each album comes with a giant book. And you get to see the people in the band and...
Yeah.
These are the great Beatles.
and the physicality of it, too. Like, this thing is going to spin, and this needle is going to make music. Like, it's so in the now, you know, it's so physical. And so like, I was going to say immediate, but immediate is like, I mean, so is an MP3. It's immediate, but this is like, you know, this physical thing is making this physical noise in front of us, you know, like,
and I think it helps the kid get excited. You're building something up, or it definitely helps Maeve, you know, it's like, hey, you gonna listen to something? Cause they always, they like dancing and stuff, and I'll put stuff on, music on if I'm doing dishes after dinner, you know, I'll just let something play for me and then like dance around with them a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but I wanted to test out the new stylus on some records. So I pulled some of my favorites out, and I have the White Album and some other stuff. And I was explaining, oh, remember we'd lost listening to the Beatles in the car. This is who they are. And here's pictures of them, and it's just so nice to have that thing and then be able to listen to it. And then I got real emotional because, you know, the song I Will, Who Knows How Long I'm Of You, you know that one?
Yep.
I used to sing that to her when she was a baby. I would sing a lot of Beatles songs because I know the words,
right?
And they're very melodic, they're very lullaby-ish.
Yeah.
You know, that's like all those Paul McCartney songs.
Right.
So that, and then she was like getting emotional because I told her about it. Oh. Used to sing this to me because I'm like, she's, you know, asking why.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, singing will calm down babies because it makes them kind of focus on something, and it, you know, and kids, they just like to hear something, they like to hear your voice. So she was like, welling up with tears, which made me, you know, like, can I hear that song again? I was like, oh my gosh, I'm
gonna cry what right a little here. Sweetie. I know. That's great.
But yeah, but yeah. Maeve actually really, she reacted well to that type of thing when she was a kid as well. Like, she really did. If I would sing to get her stop fussing a little bit, she just wanted to kind of hear something, and I would just sing those songs, the ones I knew.
Right, yeah.
Little ones like that.
Nice.
But yeah, so it's, you know, it's a good way to connect with the kids. And hopefully inject some good music in there before it gets infected with other whatever weird stuff she's going to listen to.
Yeah, right. I mean, I was at the grocery store today, and there was like a mom with a basket, and in the like basket she had a toddler, and then behind her there was like her daughter who looked like she was probably 7 or 8, maybe 9. And she was like pushing one of the small baskets. And there was some pop song on the, you know, on the music, the radio in the loudspeakers. And she's like singing along to it. I was like, she's like, maybe she was old. She's like 10 or 11. But, you know, it was like she was old enough to like know the song and know how to sing. And it wasn't like, it's not a kid song. It was like a pop, you know, like popular. It was like a Taylor Swift song or something, and she's like, nah, singing along to it. I'm like, ugh. Yeah. Like, jaded old man, like, kids singing songs.
Oh, yeah. Once I started going, like, oh, this isn't music, I was like, oh, that's what they mean.
Yeah, right.
It's just different. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm getting that point. But, yeah, so records, 3D printer, I got that working again.
Right.
I printed out some little plastic track guides to the top of the sliding cabinet door in the kitchen. It broke off. The one broke off. And I was like, it's basically a plastic tube almost.
Yeah, right.
I was like, I was like thinking about what I can whittle something, but I was like, oh, it's got to be online somewhere. Sure enough, the exact thing I needed. Someone had 3D had modeled it for free, you know, in Bamboo Labs.
Yeah.
I printed it 4 out in a little bit longer, but it was like an hour total, and I had it and I fixed it.
That's great. Where did it go? In the sliding door in the kitchen?
Yeah, if it's a folding, you know, it folds in the middle and slides on the track, and then it connects to the top of the track by a hole in the far end of the door, on the top of the door, you know, so it slides on that. So the plastic
piece door kind
of broke in half. The sliding fold door.
Sliding fold. Oh. The like, I gotcha. Okay, like a pantry door. Yeah, the slider folder. Right. Got it. Okay.
So the middle of the middle of it comes out towards you as the two sides slide together.
Gotcha. Yep.
So just that needed a thing to keep it on that track. It needed a plastic guide.
You know? Oh, that to go on the top of the door.
Yeah,
to
stay inside the track. Into the hole in the wood, and then up into the metal track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool.
So it's nice. One of those things that I was like, yes, I'm back. I 3D printed a Christmas decoration, something else. And
nice.
Did I send that to you guys? I'm going to send that to you.
Maybe I did.
That
group text or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, Sean, my buddy Sean, he just got a 3D printer. He said, I got my birthday/Christmas gift for myself. Because his birthday is December 17th. So he always combines, money his parents would give him and what he and Kate would kind of agree to spend each other on, and then he buy something for himself. So he got a Bamboo Labs P2. So it's the self-contained, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
But they're crazy. Because
A1, I think it's just the non contained one.
Right. Exactly. And even the P2 that he got is it was on sale for $550 or something.
I know.
It's crazy. So cheap now. It's insane that how cheap these really awesome printers are.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah. It's
but cool. Yeah, he has showed me some stuff he was printing. He's the contained ones. I don't know is your ears the Bamboo Labs?
Yeah.
Does it do the little poop? Does it
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a poop container? Yeah. A toilet? Did you print it or did you make one?
I printed it.
Nice. I have. We've never printed one at my school, for ours. But I always joke about it. I'm is it pooping? It's the little poops are in the back.
Maeve loves cleaning. She's like, can I clean the poop? I just sent you a picture of it.
Okay.
it's really big. This but it's cool. It's like a Christmas village.
Dang, you printed that?
Yeah.
Dang, that's awesome. Cool? Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah, it's like a train going around a mountain with little caves and the train going in and out and different levels with different buildings and stuff.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's it almost looks like Whoville or something.
Yeah, little Christmas village all self-contained. And then in the print, you put the light under it, obviously, and they have little tunnels into the houses, you know?
Yeah,
so the light travels up through the tunnels and kind of lights up the little houses and the places where they want it lit. It's really neat.
That's awesome. Man, that's a big print. Is yours the, what is it, 250 millimeters or something by 250?
Hang on, let me see.
Because it's almost 10 by 10 by, 10 by 10 by 10 or whatever. I think that's the standard Bamboo Lab build plate, if that's...
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, 255. Yeah, it was almost a foot high, I guess. Maybe.
I was gonna say, yeah, I think that if it's I think it's 10 inches is the kind of it can print a square that's that size. So yeah, that's a big man.
No, it's cool.
How long did that take to print?
12 hours. Not bad.
Dang. Right on. Yeah, we've been using ours at school to right now we're printing out these noses to different work we're making and molding these half dome creatures, which we call these splash pad creatures, because we're making for a playground down the street from our school. And so they're half dome concrete, but the biggest one's 3 feet in diameter, then we have a 2 foot one, and then a 18 inch one. And the creatures are they have eyes and noses, and the noses are just an oval, basically. That's half, if you imagine an egg, but it's sideways and half into the dome, right? So it's this nose coming out, whatever. So the biggest ones, I think it's 18 inches across and something maybe 8 or 9 inches tall. These long ovals. And so we're printing the molds to make them, because they have to fit the sphere, the half sphere, they have to fit it perfectly, but then also come out. So we're well, that's a perfect thing for the 3D printer to do. So we just 3D modeled what it was and then made it hollow and printed them out. But they're the biggest one, like it's too big to print in like two pieces, because it's basically like we're printing the mold, then we got to be able to like put it all together and take it apart, you know, once we pour the concrete in. So
yeah,
it's like the medium size one or the smaller one is like 13 inches, so that can be done in two halves, so like, you know, a top and bottom of the left side and a top and bottom of the right side. And then, but the big one is like top and bottom and left and right of, or like the left side there's a top and bottom and a top and bottom, whatever. It's so it's like eight pieces to come together to make this mold. To, you know, that's like what we could fit in the bamboo labs, because what we're like safety for, like the safety we usually aim at like 9.5 inches is like your X, right. Y, and Z direction,
right?
You know, just to make sure you know you're completely inside. So it's been printing, but we started printing. We actually have three 3D printers. One's a Bamboo Labs, one's a MakerBot, and the other one is a Prusa. And we had the MakerBot and the Bamboo Labs going at the same time. The Bamboo Labs is so much faster than the MakerBot. It's crazy. Yeah. It took like the MakerBot like 2 days to do it, and the Bamboo Labs was done in like 8 hours or something.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet.
It's cool. Yeah. All right. Well, the next thing that I am thankful for is... let's see. Well, I'll say this. What I'm not thankful for is old vehicles when random shit happens and they don't work anymore, which is what happened to my truck.
Did it finally die?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the other day the battery died on it, because I hadn't used it in a couple like 5 or 6 days, and I have a little Bluetooth adapter for my for the truck. It goes into the plugs into the cigarette lighter, you know, power slot, and then it's just a radio adapter, so it's like my phone can Bluetooth to that, and then that goes to the radio station, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just left, like, when I leave it plugged in, and when I'm not, you know, whatever, and it has a little LED light that like lights it up, and it just stays lit, so mm-hmm. it's like always pulling from the battery, so it killed the battery. So Nicole jumped me and the truck started and it was fine, and I went to work, and then the next day or 2 days later, whatever, the battery was dead again. I'm not sure if it was the same reason or not, but then like when I tried to start the truck, it just like it would turn over and it would start, but it wouldn't idle, so it would just die. It was like run, and I'm like hitting the gas, like trying to get it going, and then I'd let go of the gas, it just turn off. I was like, so
killed me.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, come on, like, just last a little longer, but you know, but I am thankful, you know, time. I know. Yeah, it did. And it was, I mean, I've had it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, I guess, you know, and yeah, so I haven't had to put all that much money into it. And which is great. But yeah, so because of that, I'm thankful for new trucks. I don't have a new truck yet, but I'm on the verge. So
we're going to go to thinking today about to it anyway.
Yeah, no. I knew I had to get one, and but now it's like I'm excited to, you know, like it's like when you can afford a nicer vehicle, it is pretty nice. It's like, you know.
Right, you don't have to just get whatever.
Yeah, you know, you can like feel a little more confident. And, you know, I'm thankful for heat. Like the new truck will have heat in it. My old truck didn't have heat. That'll be good. Thankful for like, you know, good cruise control and, you know, a normal Bluetooth speaker, you know, Bluetooth radio and all that fun stuff. Has backup cameras. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking at a 2017 F-150, and it has 101,000 miles on it. So I think it's like $17,000. So not bad. So I was looking at a blue one, and it was like a pretty like royal blue, like a pretty rich royal blue.
Yeah.
And I was going to go today to get that one. And then this morning I was looking at it and I looked up the dealership again and closed on Sundays. I was like, dang it. So then Nicole was like, well, why don't you like just do a little more research and look around a little bit more today, and then we'll see. Like, and so then I found another one, that's, it's like one in Glen Burnie or something. And it's a couple years older. I mean, a couple years newer and, 20,000 miles less on the odometer. Nice. So. Yeah, that's just a white one, though.
Well,
so
I would say really, really look, climb under there and look for rust.
Mm-hmm.
That's what screwed me with my F-150.
Right, yeah.
It was just so rusted through by the end. I mean, it was fine for when I had it, but I couldn't really resell it to the, right. the amount I wanted. I mean, I ended up taking a CarMax, and they didn't care. They didn't even look at it, which I wish I would have known beforehand.
Yeah, right.
I would have said, I would have been a lot less truthful with the condition it was in.
Yeah.
Because they will give you that, what do you call it?
The guarantee.
Not a bid. The...
Oh, they give you a cost estimate.
Appraisal or something. Appraisal, they'd say they're going to give you.
Right.
And depending on inspection, once you get there. Mm-hmm. But they didn't, you know, I pulled my truck in and they basically were taking the plates off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in and out in like 10 minutes. They didn't look at it at all. Yeah. You know, so.
Yep.
I was like, man, I should have said it was in better condition. But I couldn't sell on the private market and get a lot more.
Right. Yeah.
Which I wanted to do, but I couldn't get it inspected.
Right.
Got to a point where I just don't want to sell someone that something like that.
Yeah.
That I know won't pass inspection.
Right.
So I started telling people, like, hey, you have to get a lot of, it's like $4,000 worth of rust. Like, you got to fix stuff before it will pass inspection.
Yeah.
So I just didn't feel comfortable with that amount of issues trying to either lie to get, you know, it's because it's.
Yeah.
I'm just not comfortable with it. So I did. I didn't want to do it. And I don't care, you know, I don't care about CarMax.
Right.
Or whatever it is. If they pay me a little bit more than it was worth, they will send it to auction and get probably their money back. You know,
it's right,
they
exactly.
They don't care. They have such a huge inventory. I don't feel bad to them.
Right. Right, exactly. You're not selling. It's not a private sell.
Right.
Private
but if it's some dude, some guy, he needs a truck to carry his boat or some, his family, whatever. I don't like it. I don't feel good about it.
Right. No, I agree. And I mean, like you said, it's not that like, you know, I mean, CarMax is a company, right? It's their job to like.
They can look it over, they have a place and they have people to do it. And I didn't lie about the condition,
right? Yeah.
So but they did definitely give me less than what I would have got on the private market. But they were just turnover, like, yeah, come on in, sign it. There you go, and done.
Yep. Yeah.
And me and I think my wife and I jokingly started jogging out of the place after we got the check.
Right,
but then we were like both literally like running, like and laughing, like let's get the hell out of here.
Got
like,
him.
I was like scan it in right now on your phone.
Yeah,
put it
right
in the bank right now
before they come running out behind you. Hey,
once we get that cash, that's it. I mean, we already signed the paperwork and all. Too,
no,
I was like, just put it in now.
So you just went to CarMax just for the resale,
just to sell. Yeah.
Oh, right on. Yeah, nice. Yeah, I don't know if you like had used it as a exchange or something, but that's right, you got it at a different dealership. Yeah, I will look at it. Like, you know, it's through the dealership, but that's also like I looked at it. You know, I found it through, I guess it's car.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Or gurus.com or whatever. So they're just basically like, you know, they're just, you know, putting all the different dealerships into one place and it tells you about it, you know. So, but it doesn't, there are no pictures of the bottom. Everything else, like everything looked pretty clean from what I could see. There was a lot of pictures of the, you know, exterior, front and back and sides and wheels and then interior as well. But yeah,
I'll have to
check.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, it definitely goes from a terrible day to when you know your car's dead to get a little excited about getting something new.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, actually, oh, now I can get something, right? And, you know.
Yeah. But what the heck? What's up with the car dealerships not being open on Sunday? I was actually looked at a few different ones, and every one that I looked at in Maryland was all closed on Sundays. I was like, what the heck? That's when people buy cars, on the weekend.
I know,
like, true. We have to work during the week.
Yeah, can you come in Monday at like, lunchtime? Yeah, I know. That was me.
I'll be at work.
My Tacoma, that was tough trying to look for stuff. And
yeah.
And I actually almost settled. And it's actually saved my butt. I almost settled on a kind of a bluish, purplish Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
It was still nice. It was a sport. It was the same year as mine now.
Right.
I was like, I'm not crazy about the blue, but it was one of those things where we got tired of looking.
Yeah,
right. We're just like, we're at this place. It's in good condition. I test drove it. And we were trying to get it done there, but for some reason, Pennsylvania, they won't take, like, Maryland checks or something. Mm-hmm. So we had to go get some. I'm like, all right, well, we'll come back Monday with whatever. I forget what they needed, you know, something from the bank or whatever. And then that Sunday, I found the one I have now, which had less miles and the really cool color, which I like.
Yeah.
You know, the whatever, the gray-green kind of flat color, which I thought was cool with the blacked-out badges. I was like, oh, and it was the off-road instead of the sport.
Ah, yeah, right. Nice.
So I was like, oh, nice. So that's why I went that Sunday to look at it. They weren't open, right? It was that thing. But I just went and looked at it because I was so paranoid about the rust.
Right.
And because I'd gone other places and I couldn't tell about the rust. And when I climbed down there under a bunch of them, they were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to climb under and look. I mean, I don't know much, but I know I can see when stuff is rusty.
Yeah, right.
I know that much. So again, that will tell you a lot about the condition of the vehicle.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that was that. Oh, and then I found another one before that, but it had someone smoking it, cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
It's just all that type of stuff that you try to go, oh, maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe I can clean it out. But it just kind of, it's like a pair of shoes. If you have to convince yourself that they're comfortable the first wear, they're probably not going to be comfortable.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't know. They feel a little weird on the sides. It make me walk funny, but maybe I can wear it. It's like, no, if you're not feeling good right from the start, I know it's tough to move on, but you just got to go like, we just got to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's kind of, you know, hopefully that is what happened already for me, so I don't have to, like, deal with another thing. But that was the, like, looking at the blue one and then thinking I was going to go today to get that one, but then the dealership's closed, so then I decided to, like, look some more and found a better deal, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay. You know, newer car with less mileage and the same thing. It's the V8, so it's the 5-liter V8 flex fuel. Whatever that is, 6-speed.
Well, no, that's a 4-wheel drive. Flexful, I think, isn't that a V6?
No, they have the V6. There's like the 2.7 and the 3.5 liter, but then they also have the V8.
V8's good. That's what you want.
Yep.
I want those turbos like I had. You know, that didn't end up being the problem for me. So
right, yeah.
All the turbo talk, and it wasn't it.
Right.
Frame was falling apart.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
But yeah, it'll be it's a extended cab, so it's not the 4-door, it's the 2-door with the two backwards. Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
But exactly. That's
funny. And you don't have little kids anymore, and you know, Grin will be out of the house soon, so it's not like you gotta be lugging the family around.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I like the proportions of that better because I am getting the 6.5-foot bed. Yeah.
I thought you.
Well, I like the 8-foot bed, but they're not as like readily available. They're much more expensive, and then like
they're hard to find.
Or they have them with just like the standard cab and the 8-foot bed. There's tons of those, right? Because it's like just the work truck, you know. So
it's a good size bed though, for sure.
Yeah, and I've gotten used to mine. Like that's what mine is. Mine's a 6.5, and like you know, 2x4s and sheets of plywood, they can fit in. They fit in, but they stick out, but only a little bit. You know, it's like I've gotten used to it. And so I'm like, okay, it'll do. And the one thing that's funny, like Sean, his Tacoma is the same as yours. So it's got the like the 4.5-foot bed or whatever it is. It's, you know, it's got the short bed, but when we go to Maker Camp, he sleeps in the back of his truck. He bought the truck tent for it. And so he sleeps in the back, but he has to like sleep at a diagonal and his feet kind of stick out a little bit because he's like just too long for the bed. So I'm like, I got the 6.5-foot bed. It's 78 inches. So it's like just the right size for sleeping in if that were an issue. But it's funny, I would never have thought about that until he's like, oh yeah, it's my truck tent on the back of my little bed. Another thing that I am thankful for is, I would say, teaching. Like, I love teaching, and I love, you know, being a teacher and teaching at Baltimore Design School where I teach. And there's something, like, just kind of fun and magical about teaching students and being inspired by students. It's something that I've like, I'm always been thankful for, and working with students who are really like passionate about what they do and getting them excited. When I was in grad school and thinking about a career after grad school, thinking about teaching, you know, my plan was to teach in college, and because I thought, like, you know, college students, they want to be there, right? They're like paying to go to school, so they want to be there, and they're like the ones who you want to teach because they're excited about it. But I do get that with my high schoolers. I have 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, and because I teach at a school that's like a specific portfolio school where they have to come and they have to want to be there to do design, and you know, I have a good group of students who want to teach, who want to be there and want to learn. So it's fun to be a teacher for those students. I love teaching. And the one thing I don't like, which I'm not thankful for, is having to help Corinne, my daughter, study for her math tests in high school, because it's so far out of anything that I do in math anymore. Like, I'm helping her study tonight for like polynomials and multiplying and dividing.
No, you're on you.
Fractions and irrational, like, rational numbers.
Haven't you been learning
and
every day about this stuff? I have not.
I know. Well, that's the whole point. Like, she has the same mind that I do. Like, neither of us, Nicole's got more of a math mind than we do, but like, we haven't done it in so long. So like, I can think it logically. Like, there is some logic to math, which I can do, you know, as a maker. I'm like, okay, that makes sense, you know, if I know the process. But it's remembering all the steps and stuff.
It's bullshit. All it is, can you remember the steps?
Yeah, right. These
endless number steps. This number does this to this number. This number does this to this number. So on and so forth until the end of the world.
Yeah, and it's like, why?
It is boring.
Yeah.
Stupid. Math does not show your intelligence. All it shows is your ability to remember steps.
Yeah, processes.
You might as well just be like, oh, I know how to bake a cake from nothing. I read it once and I can bake. I know all the temperatures. But at the end of it, you just get an answer. You don't get a delicious strudel.
Yeah, I mean, and multiplying and dividing fractions. I mean, she's taking algebra two, I forget which one it is, but you know, it's like it's stuff that has to do with graphing. So you're like you're doing fractions that are like, you know, f, you know, times x equals, you know, 2x cubed plus 3x minus 6 divided and it's like, it's all about understanding the like process. You like pull out numbers and then you have to like simplify, and then you have to
remember the numbers and remember the steps.
And then on top of that, her teacher, like, so I was helping her, she's doing her study guide, you know, so she's like working through her study guide, and there's an answer page, like the whole study guide has all the teacher's answers written on it online, so you can like reference that in a study. And we're like looking at the answer sheet, but then there are times where like it seems wrong, like what her teacher's doing, or like she's doing something that is different, or like, well, why'd she do that? Doesn't make any sense. You know, or like, how did she come up with this number? This is just wrong. Or like the process that Corinne learned, it's like, oh, you always do this and then this and this. And then her teacher does it differently. But then we're like, well, why'd she do it differently? Then we got to go back and figure out why. And like, I was like, oh man, it's so annoying. And I was telling Corinne at one point, I'm like, all right, well, why'd you do that? Like, why'd you, you know, write that? And she's like, well, you know, I did this here. I'm like, okay. And then she like did something, and then she looked at the answer, and then she erased it. And then wrote something else. I was like, well, why'd you write that first thing? And then, like, she was like, well, because I thought it was this. And I'm like, well, then, but I was like, but why? You know, like, tell me why you wrote it so that way I can understand. Like, what did you look at to, like, get the answer so that way I can understand, so I can help you not do that wrong again? But then she was like, no, I just wrote it wrong, and I actually fixed it before I looked at the answer. I was like, oh, well, that's different. You had already made the choice. Like, I was like, ugh, it's just so like, my brain is like trying to like work so hard to like understand it and help her in a way that is meaningful. You know, it's like, ugh, man, really, algebra in high school, like, no thanks.
And I mean, it, you know, back when we were in school, the joke was, why do you need it if we have a calculator? The joke was, we're never going to need this.
Yeah.
And the majority of people don't, unless you're an engineer or something, you know, blah, 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 right. Where you kind of do use it every day. And it's even more of that now, which is a little scary with kids now. It's like, well, AI is going to do all this. And it's not that you, before a calculator could do it, but you still needed to know what to input.
Right.
Now you don't even barely need to know what to input. You ask the AI, what do I need to know about this?
Yeah.
I will type it in. I will show you an image of it, and you figure out everything for me. All right. This math stuff that is all numbers and code and stuff, they, you know, AI can figure out in 2 seconds. Tricky part is being able to double check it and that type of thing. But most of people aren't doing that intensive math.
Yeah. With, on the thankful side, I am really thankful for the school that Corinne's at. She's at Carver, which is an art school in Baltimore, and she loves her school. Like, you know, like obviously, you know, math, she still has all the normal academics, and Corinne's smart, but like, you know, like trying to like memorize stuff is not her strong suit, and that's fine. But she was just saying the other day where she was walking like from lunch to class or something, and she was walking through the main entry hallway. It's this big main entry space, and she says there was just like a like three people just playing music, like a band, you know. They're just like one guy on the guitar and then like a little drum set, and they were just like playing. There was like a show going on, and then like she's like every day there's like people playing piano in that space.
Yeah,
and
you're
like,
hippie.
She's like, it's just people are like happy, and there's always music, and like people like out and about, like painting things and drawing things. She's like, I love my school. I was like, I'm so happy. Yeah. You know, I'm so happy for her, because that's like, that's so important, you know, because
not many I feel like that.
No, not most people just don't like school. They're like, oh, school.
Because yeah, we're all forced day, into know? The main. Yeah, yeah, right. That you get into a school like a little bit like that. You have people right. more focused. It's
yeah.
Yeah, it's like an early version of college. Where, right, well, exactly. Certain colleges,
yeah.
kind of colleges we went to where there was a focus and you knew everyone was interested in the kind of the same thing.
Right, exactly. And they're, you know, people are there because they want to be there, you know, so you get that right. like feeling. There's a comfort level in the air that like, you know, people are happy yeah. to be there. And that's, yeah. That's a blessing. So I'm really thankful for that because, you know, having, you know, for one, having a teenager and having a daughter, you know, it's like I could have like a crazy, moody, you know, like super mm-hmm. angsty teenager girl daughter, you know, but I have like this wonderful child who is pleasant and, you know, happy and she goes to school that she likes and she's got good friends and, you know, it's like I'm very blessed.
I guess that's okay, because I was going to say, I think what we said last year, you cannot say you're thankful for your family. It's too obvious.
Yeah, and right, makes exactly.
Everyone in the my room family, also yeah. have to go back and then say the same things, or they look yeah. bad.
Right, exactly. Okay, now I got to thank for yeah, right, exactly.
We're thankful for a new truck, and then Justin came along, he said he's thankful for his daughter. Like, yeah, well, I know, I like my daughter too.
Yeah. We had already talked about like Maeve and the records and stuff. Yeah, like, so we go. We both got it.
That's true. We shoehorned it in. Look at us.
Well, I bitched about having to study with her first, so.
Okay, so. All right, let's do a little some fun games. We probably should have kicked it off with the games, but yeah, if you guys are still here listening, we're going to try a few. hopefully you're on your way to driving to families or friends' houses, yeah. and hopefully it's not too long of a drive. So here's we're going to do a little quick, it's not even the draft. I want to get what our favorite main dishes are, sides, desserts, drinks, and then wild card.
Okay. All right.
So let's start with our mains. I mean, we could draft it. I don't know if we should draft it because then we could take ours. Maybe we get two of each.
Well, we okay. All right. Okay.
We each get yeah. two mains.
Okay. Yeah, and we're just naming them.
Yeah, what your favorite is, and we gotcha. Get two of that. So on the mains, I'll let you go first, and then the next one I'll go first.
Okay, so main dish.
Here's some. I'll say what the options they give me here.
Okay.
Turkey, ham, rib, lasagna, duck, tofurkey, venison. I mean, that hits a lot of the mains.
You can't lasagna's in there?
I know. And the funny thing, it said Italian families go hard. I was like, yes.
All right, well, I'll say turkey.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's...
Like, yeah. And then, so...
Oh, so should I choose both or do
turkey,
we both want to do
no,
them?
I get a chance. You okay. can't just yeah. get them all.
Can we not? We can't double up.
You can't just grab turkey and ham right off the... Turkey, ham, done. What else you got?
Well, let's say, like, maybe we can... Our our choices can overlap by one, like, since we get two choices, right?
Well, we go back and forth, like a draft.
Okay, so we can't. So it so is
I
a draft.
I say ham. And then
a draft
after that,
or it's not a draft?
It is.
Okay, all right.
Can't draft two people at once.
It's true. All right, so you said ham?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, good spiral cut ham, like a honey glaze.
I mean, that's it. It's good. Better than turkey for me.
I will say lamb.
Okay.
That's actually something that we've had traditionally with the Mosleys, with my in-laws. My uncle-in-law Howard, he often brings, or he'll say that we're gonna do ham a lamb a clam a. So there's ham, lambs, and clams. So he brings clams down from New England, and then we do like a clam meal, like the night before or whatever, and then ham and lamb.
I will say now. See, I don't really like any of the other stuff that much. I feel like I've had like some type of pork before.
Mm, yeah,
you like know, that. I mean, I'm saying ham. Yeah, I know that. So maybe I can like a different right. type of sliced. Work, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, like, Thanksgiving is like ham and turkey. That's it.
I know.
At least that's what we do.
Lasagna. You know, I'll say ribs, because if they're available, I would definitely snag some prime ribs.
Yeah, put some hurt on some ribs. Right. Okay, so that's main dishes.
Okay, so sides.
Okay.
We got... Stuffing, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, sweet potato casserole, cornbread, green bean casserole, rolls, cranberry sauce, Brussels sprouts, carrots, butternut squash, deviled eggs, potato salad. Now, deviled eggs usually aren't at Thanksgiving, and
yeah,
potato salad necessarily isn't. And mac and cheese isn't always, but I know it's... More of a black thing is mac and cheese.
Yep. So I was going to say, my students asked me that. They were like, they said something about like mac and cheese. And I was like, yeah, I love mac and cheese, but it's never a Thanksgiving thing. I was like, that's a black thing. And they were like, I was like, that's what black people eat. They're like, can you say that? I was like, I'm making an observation. Yes, I can say that. Like, that is
you're
a
like,
traditional
like, do
black
you
family
eat it at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, it's the best part. I'm like, there you go. And it's funny. Like, one of my students was like, yeah, I had another friend who said something about like they had never had. He was like, oh yeah, he was white too. I was like, well, there you go. I mean, they were joking because like I'll say race based things all the time. Observations like it's, you know. Like, I'm not like squeamish about saying that to my students who are like 99% black, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but, if you're, just pointing out differences is
yeah,
all about
right,
what
exactly.
it is bonding with people.
It's, right. Yeah, it's usually like there's some like humor to it, you know? I'm
yeah,
like,
you're
oh,
not
yeah,
being
that's
nasty.
A black thing.
Yeah,
yeah
it's
no.
Just, it doesn't matter. But see, that's the difference. We grew up with all different types of people, so we're not afraid of talking to different people.
Right.
People
yeah.
who are afraid of talking to different people walk on eggshells around people.
Yeah.
And then
right.
other people don't like that because they're weirded out by you because you're weirded out by different people. You know?
All the way back around. Yeah.
So what do you got?
Yeah, you go first.
I'm going to say cornbread, which also I guess will go with cornbread casserole. I'll just mix those in too.
All right. So I will do stuffing. I absolutely love stuffing. It's funny because that's a very divisive topic in
Thanksgiving
meals.
And you just like
meals.
It straight, like, out of the box.
Yeah, like Stouffer's or whatever it is. Yeah,
You don't need all the fancy
No,
shit.
I mean, I like that, too. I actually prefer just the regular, like, box stuffing.
Yeah.
It's got seasonings and the breadcrumbs, and it's like...
Because you only... Yeah, again, don't make it complicated. We only get this stuff once a year.
Right.
Can you play the hits? We don't need to hear the stuff from your new album. Play damn hits.
I did actually, it's funny, I brought, or we were at, I guess we were at the my in-laws last year when we did, we did Thanksgiving with them as well, and we did make baked mac and cheese because Corinne really likes it. And I asked her, I was like, what do you want? You know, like, there's a bunch of different stuff, like, because she's, you know, she's not a huge fan of, like, most of the like, she likes turkey and she kind of likes mashed potatoes and, you know, she's not a big gravy person and she doesn't like green bean casserole and she doesn't really like cornbread casserole. And so it's like, so I asked her what she wanted and I was like, I guess I could do. And I thought it was like, because, you know, my students always talk about liking macaroni and cheese. I was like, I could do like baked mac and cheese. She was like, oh yeah, that'd be great. I was like, okay, cool.
Got this exotic meal.
Bring that black Baltimore culture to my New England in-laws.
It's funny though. It's not even a different dish. It's just served at a different time.
Right, you know, exactly. Yeah,
it's like it's like Italians eating lasagna.
Yeah, right.
You're like, well, I wouldn't normally eat this now.
Yeah,
it's good and it works, but right. We just never have.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that like we never add mac and cheese because like we grew up eating mac and cheese. It just wasn't a traditional Thanksgiving dish.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's pasta.
Right.
Unless you're Italian, you usually didn't add pasta to.
No.
You said stuffing. I said cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
should we do three each for sides?
That's a good idea.
All right. Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna say green bean casserole.
Oh, I'm so glad you got that.
I shouldn't even take him that because you weren't gonna snag him from.
No, I was not gonna take him. yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, what do you want? That's good. Okay, I will say. All right, yeah. Green bean casserole. Like, not a big fan. But it's kind of one of those things that I don't mind it being there. You know, it's like, it's got the. Well, I will say, like, I never liked green beans because of the way we grew up eating them, which was just like the canned green beans that you like put into a pot and reheat. Yeah, they're kind of vinegary and like, I just not a great taste. Like I wasn't a big fan of those. But like, I love fresh green beans. Or if you get fresh green beans from the, you know, produce, whatever section of the grocery store and you like pan fry them with some garlic and olive oil and like salt and butter and stuff, you know, it's like, that's great. Like, I love that. It's got the freshness to it. It was just, I think it's just the canned green beans that I don't like. But that's usually also typically what you're making green bean casserole with, because you're just getting a bunch of green beans and making it, you know, whether it's canned or frozen or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I do like the crispy onion straws, you know, and kind of like
bake it in with the crispiness, and it's all kind of a nice.
Is it like a cream mushroom soup or something?
Weird too. Yeah. But I love it.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I like having it occasionally. Like when there's green bean casserole at Thanksgiving, I'll put like some in the dish on my plate because it's like all the flavors go together. You know, it's like a little bit of turkey and a little green bean and like, you know, or something like, and the crispy onion straws. It's okay. But yeah, I wouldn't have chosen it though. Okay. All right. So my second, I'm going to go with standard mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Mashed pose. Okay.
Yeah, you can keep those.
You're not a mashed potatoes fan?
No, not really.
Mm. Man, like a good mashed potatoes, I mean, with the chunks in it.
Derek's are just so to die for. I mean,
they are. He did a good job. Derek knows how to make mashed potatoes.
I was joking, but if you like them, that's on
I
you.
Do like them. Yeah, he does a good job. It's got they're like not super creamy. They got some chunks in them.
Oh yeah, he's like
a little bit of butter and salt.
I'm not mushing them that long. Here, I make mine chunky.
That's it's the texture. It's the texture.
I like it too. I mean, I do prefer that over the.
Straight up.
Yeah, just mush.
Cream. Yeah. It was funny. I asked my coworker, my co-teacher, Katie, the other day. I asked her about mashed potatoes. She was talking about it. And I was like, do you prefer like really smooth like mashed potatoes or do you like them to have like some chunks in it? She said her preference is a smooth mashed potato, but it has the crusty top. So like you get some texture change because the top is crusty. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, is it baked? Like, so you like make mashed potatoes, but then you like broil it to like burned the top. She's like, I don't know how my mom did it. My grandmother, she's like, I don't know. She's like, I just loved it, though. I was like, okay. Yeah. But I think it's that, you know, it's that, like, that texture change, a little bit of the crunchiness to it, so.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a few things on here. I've never had deviled eggs at a
Thanksgiving. Yeah. Yes,
I don't think that counts.
No.
I have had a potato salad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's... Yeah. I could go for that, but that's
are kind rolls of on there? Like, is that something like
the yeah. rolls is on there?
So yeah, actually, cranberry sauce.
I might just take. I mean, rolls are biscuits. You know,
yeah, like man. Well, biscuit. Oh yeah.
You know, rolls are good. Yeah. You know, I'll just go with rolls.
Okay. All right. Yeah, rolls good. That's a good grab. I'm gonna go with cranberry sauce because I do like cranberry. I like that. Again, it's like I wouldn't eat it just by itself, but you know, I like it when it's mixed in with something. You know, a little bit of turkey.
You like it, the can style or the fancier style?
I like both. Both has a place. The can style is less tangy. You know, so it's like just the sweetness, which is okay. Sometimes I want just the sweetness and not the tanginess, but then I do like the tanginess.
Yeah, I think
like Nicole really likes our aunt Jill made like a homemade cranberry sauce where you get the cranberries and then you do like orange zest and stuff into it, so it gets that tanginess to it, which is good too. I like that too, but you know, I think. I like to have both, actually. I like having like a little bit of the canned cranberry and then a little bit of the tangy just to like mix up the flavors.
All right. That's good. Good.
All right.
Desserts.
Ooh, okay.
We've got pumpkin pie, apple pie, pecan pie, cheesecake, chocolate cream pie, bread pudding, pumpkin roll, and chocolate chip cookies. I don't think chocolate chip cookies really count, but...
Nah. No, I'm going to go with the best, which is apple pie.
Apple. That's a good grab. Mom's apple pie is good.
Yes, it is. She does the the sugar on top, you know, the crystal sugar, which is actually that's like the clear sprinkles that she uses. And then it's like crunchy. Oh, so good. Crunchy sugar.
Yeah, she's going to go, like, I don't really want to, I got all that time making the pies every year.
I decided to just put regular sugar on top this year.
Listen.
I'm going to flip the table over.
Intervention. Yeah. We're not coming. I'm not letting you see the kids until you get a real menu.
We're going to have garlic bread. And
next time you see the children, they'll be teenagers.
We're going to have deviled eggs at Thanksgiving this year.
I had a falling out with my family. What happened? She stopped serving good Thanksgiving food. That was it.
Yeah, right. That was it. Straw that broke the camel's back.
No, I'm going to say this, not just because my wife makes a delightful one. I have really grown to love it, which I didn't think I would. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, like, all your sweet tastes as a kid are just like... candy, chocolate candy, you know, anything with nuts or fruit, you're like, oh, what is this? Is it like this? Is no. Yeah. But pecan pie is just killer.
It is good. Yeah, she does make a good pecan pie, man.
Yeah. You need one more?
One more dessert.
Yeah.
I'm going to say ice cream. Like vanilla ice cream. Is that just go along with it?
Yeah, I think you can have that accoutrement. Okay. It's like whipped cream almost to certain pies. You know, you just kind of, it's a, like, it accompanies it.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll say, what do we got? We got cherry, apple, pumpkin, pecan,
cheesecake here, chocolate cream pie. If you have a good one of those are killer.
Yeah.
Bread pudding, which I don't really eat. Pumpkin roll, which I don't know if I've ever had a pumpkin roll, but I know what it is.
Yeah.
I did have a pumpkin roll recently from Walmart. We bought it.
Yeah.
But it was okay, but it was just one of those Walmart bakery things.
Yeah, right.
You ever get those? They always look good. They're never as good as they look, you know? Like Walmart makes them really look great, but they're just never that great.
I guess I'm just going to go with pumpkin.
Yeah. Dang, you got the two main
ones. I know, apple and pumpkin. I know, man.
Should have grabbed pumpkin just to take.
Just get one of the right. one of the classics. Get one of the, was that, what do we call that? The Trump card.
Yeah, right.
The Helen Keller.
All right, you know what? Just because it sounds really good right now, a chocolate cream pie would be.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, man, I would not be upset if I went to a Thanksgiving there was pecan pie and chocolate cream pie. Like,
baby. I thought I didn't have room, but now I do.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right, this one's, now we can, okay, there's two, which I guess don't really, here, okay, I'll just say. Drinks, I guess these are. These are anything other than your normal. You know, you could have a soda or water or iced tea. I don't think okay. those count. Because in reality, I'll probably have a water or an iced tea for Thanksgiving. And then have an alcoholic drink on the side.
Right.
So here's what they got. Apple cider. Spiked apple cider. Wine, beer, hot chocolate, eggnog, sparkling water... Bourbon hot toddy. Those are the options they have.
Okay. Are those like Thanksgiving drinks?
Yeah, apparently.
I guess like the hot apple cider and the eggnog, I could see that. That's like holiday.
So is it mine?
It's your turn.
I'm gonna go beer. Yeah. Beer. Okay. Always good.
Yeah. Okay. I will go. I'm gonna go eggnog. Yeah, I'm not like a huge eggnog fan, but you know, it's kind of like a, it's almost like a White Russian. You know, it's that kind of creamy.
Yeah,
oh, alcohol-y. It's nice. You know,
I love it. I went nuts last year on eggnog.
Did you really?
It was crazy. That's all I got. I like stopped buying beer. I just kept bringing those big jugs home.
Those big and jugs. Like, another pre-mixed. One.
I'm like, yeah, that's great. You have two of those, you're like, you're set.
Yeah, pour it over some ice. You baby. Pour it over ice. Yeah.
Okay, right. Beer. I'm going to hit the other big one. Wine. Wine. I got beer and wine covered.
Beer and wine. All right. Well, I'll do a spiced apple cider then. Spice cider.
What do you have at your party to drink? Oh, it's eggnog or cider. What do you want? Here we go.
It was BYOB. And you didn't bring any, so we got spiced apple cider and
water,
eggnog. That's what Dad would have.
That's true. He'd have a.
Dad's like, I got the eggnog, and we have some apple cider.
He does
here.
Have that. He spices up too. He throws a little whiskey in it too. He's like, it'll make it a little better.
A little floater on top.
He's got one of those little tubes in it, a little kicker, a little fireball kicker. All right, and then this last one is called Wild Cards.
Oh,
all right. Oh, this is weird. Okay, here, but I'll I guess it's anything else you like, basically.
Okay.
About Thanksgiving.
Is it okay? About Thanksgiving. Okay.
So yeah. This is what right. Here's the what they got. Leftover turkey sandwich, turkey leg, charcuterie board. Turkey skin, crispy. Ooh. Gravy as a drink. The seat furthest from the crazy uncle. A nap, watching football, getting the wishbone. So maybe it's just an extra one.
Yeah, okay. Well, is it me first?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm going to say football.
Yeah.
I was thinking that before you even started the list. I was like, football, man, that's a good Thanksgiving. Like, that's a good wild card.
Okay, and I will say some sort of outdoor game.
Yeah, that's actually why one of the reasons I thought about football was, like, throwing around the football. I was like, oh, I'm watching football.
It's something nice. To kind of get out of the house. It's not freezing yet. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a drink in your hand. You're kind of hanging outside, talking to people. All right.
That's nice. Pretty good. Yeah, that was good.
So your draft is turkey and lamb, a side of stuffing and mashed potatoes with cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
For dessert, you can with apple pie or pumpkin pie, really good.
Classics, yeah.
Drinks, limited. Eggnog or apple cider. And then watching some football to polish it off.
Yeah, man. Good time.
Mine is you get the ham, the honey ham, or some ribs.
Okay.
On the side, you're eating cornbread, green bean casserole, and rolls.
Okay. All right.
Dessert is pecan pie and a chocolate cream pie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got you covered for drinks. It's beer or wine, folks.
Beer or wine.
Whatever you want, we got.
Classic.
You're not going to be chugging thick eggnog at my house. I hope you like it. And then after that, you know, we're going to go outside and throw a frisbee around, maybe a football.
Nice.
Have a good time.
Yeah. Do a little kick game.
Kick game. Slip. Get your khakis dirty.
Right. Get your shants out. Let's go.
Horseshoes. Yeah, some horseshoes.
Nice. Right on, man. Classic. Okay. Good times. Sweet. Right on.
I don't know if I have anything else here. No, we can wrap it up. Yeah, I hope everyone has a good Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week. I'm sure we'll have another one.
Yeah. We'll be we won't record for, you know, on Thanksgiving, so it'll be another week, but we'll have one coming out next week. For my recommendation this week, I is something that I'm thankful for is my recommendation, and then also someone. Facebook groups. So it's an interesting thing, the Facebook group, because the Facebook group is where you can join a group with like-minded people and see everything that those people post about. Mm-hmm. One of the groups that I'm part of is Axe Junkies. I'm thankful for the Axe Junkies. I used to be a lot more active in Axe Junkies. I'm not as much anymore, but I still pop on and look, and I'll like post stuff pretty often. Anytime I post anything that's like Axe related content, I'll like cross post it to the Axe Junkies group. And one of the guys in Axe Junkies, his Facebook name is John. He's out in Frederick, Maryland, or out in the kind of Western Maryland area. And he posted an image of an axe that he had hung, and he used decommissioned fire hose material to make a sheath out of. Mm. And it was kind of this like bright gold. It's kind of cool looking. So I'd asked him about it, and instead of just like, you know, on his post, I put a comment, you know, I put a question like, oh, what's the material you're using that? And then he like, and instead of just like responding to my comment, he like direct messaged me on Facebook and like took a little video and showed what it was and told me how he got it and stuff. And then he was like, yeah, how's it, you know, sounds like you're doing good. I hope you're, you know, like, sounds like everything's going good at the new house. I'd love to come down and check it out. You know, so it's like people who are a little bit more invested in each other. Like, we're still a part of a big group. Like, Axe Junkies is like 40,000 members or something, you know, all across the country. But, you know, when you're part of a group like that, you kind of get to know. It's like a way to get to know a bunch of people that are all like-minded. And then, you know, I think when we went to Blade Show, you and I, Craig Roost was there, who's, you know, he started Axe Junkies, and, you know, he works with the, Council Tool Axe Company. And he was there, and I was like chatting with him, and he like knew who I was and stuff. And it was like, you know, we'd never met before, but, you know, it was just like a nice guy. And it's like, I, you know, knew him through the group and have met different people through the group and stuff. And so thankful for those type of groups. It's kind of interesting to, you know, I would think that like when Instagram started, it was almost like that. Like you could kind of only follow the people who you were interested in, and you would only get information from them in your feed. You know, it was like only the people you followed or like a tag you followed. And now it's a little bit more. Now they just like feed you with whatever they want to feed you. The algorithm just like shows you everything. So it's a little bit less predictable, but Facebook groups is a little bit more specific and a little bit more intimate, which is kind of nice. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check out, if you like axes and you want to be, you know, around more people, you can check out the Axe Junkies Facebook page. And then if you're over there, look for John. John, he does some really awesome stuff. A lot of people, one of his nicknames is Jersey John, because he loves the Jersey pattern axes. So he like collects a lot and reposts and like, you know, hangs them and sells them and stuff. So he does a lot of Jersey axes. So look up John, he does great stuff. And he's, you know, a good dude. I've met him a couple times at different axe meetups. So there you go.
Joe John. Wear your pants, Joe.
Joe John. Wear your pants, Joe John. Yeah, wear your pants. Yeah. Kick them off.
Mine is a certain video from a channel I've suggested a million times. But they've got Meat Eater has his 13th season out now, which I didn't even realize until a few days ago. So I watched a bunch of them. But they're doing this Africa special in Tanzania. Okay. That's really good. Really good. And they responded to my comment on there.
Ooh.
And I think it was just, I don't even know if it was the Art Craftsmanship commented. I think it was just me as Devin. So that was cool.
Nice.
I was like, oh, thanks so much for this. You know, but just one of those things.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, right on. Thanks for watching. I'm glad you're excited. You know, it's just a little response. But it was like, oh, cool. You get that feeling. Oh, they responded.
Right, yeah. There's like a giant channel like that, you know. You like,
it's, they can only respond to so many, you know. They get so many. Exactly. But I think I responded right in as it was coming out.
Yeah,
I probably, like, it was the first couple hours. So I was,
you don't expect them to respond because there's so many, you know, because they're such a big channel. Right. It's not that they're not good people. It's just, how do you respond to, you know, 5 million people when you have that many people watching, you know? So it is. Yeah, it's
cool. It's cool. It's him, Steve Ranelli, going to Africa and talking about how he thought about it beforehand. Like, you know, I thought it was just like rich guys going trophy hunting. And he's like, there's a place for that, and it does great for, you know, the local economies, but he just never wanted to do it. But then one of his buddies explained to him, and so he's got all these great guides and stuff, local guides, and showing him around. It's a great exotic kind of hunt.
Nice.
Just a really great episode. Tanzania. Nice.
Tanzania, right on. Awesome.
It might be a three-parter, too, because the first one is...
So much content.
Which is great, because sometimes my thing with them was, they'd like, well, we're going to Alaska, and it's one 22-minute episode.
Yeah, right.
They stick with that. You guys were there for 2 weeks. There's so much. Give us the series of it, you know? Give us 5 episodes of you in Alaska.
But they're like, yep, 22 minutes, that's it. That's what fits in a half an hour with commercials.
Right now, you know, stupid, that format.
Yeah, right.
See, if a TV format is, yeah, whatever, 22, 23 minutes for a 30-minute show, and then 40 to 50 for an hour show.
Dang. 40 to 50, jeez.
40 Man. To 50, not.
So 17, oh, 40
not,
to 50.
Not 40, yeah, not 40 okay. to 50, but 40
40 to 50.
40 to 50. That's so exact.
Dang, 17 minutes and 10 seconds? That's all you get? Nice. Right on. All right. Well, I did, you saw my post today when I, like, I cut down the tree and did some axe content. I was, there was a tree that fell in my backyard, so I was like, oh, let me set the camera and do a little time lapse of me cutting it up. And I was like, oh, let me put my axe away. I'll show some of that content, since I've been making my axe rack, which is working really well. I'm happy about it, so it's good stuff.
Yeah.
But cool. Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Yeah. Everyone who's in the States. And if you're not in the States, well, we're thankful for all of you who are listening as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving, has some time to spend some time with some family and some friends and some loved ones, and be appreciative of those around you and be thankful, because, you know, this is a very short life that we live, and we only have so much time on this planet. So, you know, be appreciative of those who are around you, and let them know that you're thankful too, because, it feels good to be thanked, and it feels good to let people know that you're appreciative of them. So, And we are appreciative of everyone who's listening this. So thank you all for listening. And if you want to see more about what's going on behind the scenes, you can always head over to Instagram and check out both what Devin and I are doing at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. See a little bit behind the scenes stuff. You can see that tree that I cut up today and put my axe away. And yeah, and then you can always head over to YouTube and check out what we're doing over there as well, because that's really what we want you to check out all the videos over there, see what we're doing, and keep your eye out for new content. And yeah, let us know what you think. You can always comment and like and subscribe. And if you want to support us further, you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and join over there. And we do have a Discord for patrons as well. So those of you who are patrons have access to the Discord. We haven't been super busy on the Discord or super on the Discord recently. We just haven't been doing a ton of filming just because it's summertime and everyone's busy in life and all sorts of stuff. So, but you do get access to the Discord. So that's direct access to us. But yeah, so for those of you who do support us over there, we really appreciate it. So thank you all so much. And all right, that's it. All right, Devin, always a pleasure, man.
All right, brother.
Happy Thanksgiving. Everybody else, Thanksgiving. Thank you guys all for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.